This is Phil Rowe.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Hearing loss affects about one in six of the adult population in the UK. By the age of 70 and over, at least 70% of people have a hearing loss. This is a condition that most people will either experience themselves or they will know someone who is living with it. It's very common. Francis Dewhurst is the project officer for Living Well with Hearing Loss for the charity Cambridgeshire Hearing Help, and she is with us now. Very good morning to you, Francis.
Hello, Philip. Nice to be here.
We've met before and we've been doing this thing, and we don't know where. But I'm not sure whether it was actually across here in the studio because you haven't actually been in the building before. But anyway, nice to see you again, wherever it was in life.
It's very nice to see you again.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
Now, I've slightly moved my microphone in the line of vision to you as my guest across the other side of the studio, Francis, because you don't mind telling everybody that you yourself wear hearing aids and have a hearing loss.
I do, yes. I've worn hearing aids for about the last 15 years, I suppose. So I'm very used to them, and I put them on in the morning and take them off at night, and wearing hearing aids is entirely normal for me.
As it is for so many people that get to a certain age. And the reason I've moved my microphone slightly is to give you eye line as well, so you can see some movements of my mouth.
Yes.
You can do some lip reading.
I rely on lip reading as well as my hearing aids. Everybody relies on lip reading a bit, but if you've got a hearing loss, even if you are wearing hearing aids, you're going to need to have that little bit of extra help. And so you need to be able to see people's faces to be able to interpret the sounds correctly.
Eye contact's always very important in life anyway.
Absolutely.
For those without visual problems, of course. So
yeah.
Eye contact with each other here today. Plus, it's just human touch, isn't it? The warm, friendly, engaging way. But you can see
absolutely.
My mouth.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we pick up from a whole range of signals when we understand communication. And often we talk more about communication than actually hearing, because it's all the signals that go around that we pick up on.
And I think I'd be terrible if I had to lip read. If I did lose one of my senses, which, yeah, I don't lose any. I always think to myself, which sense would I do without? Would it be touch? Would it be smell? Would it be vision? Or would it be hearing? I think I would want to hear the world. Most people say, well, it's more acute to visualise the world and be able to see, I suppose.
It's a difference between, it's in a way making the comparison is sort of, in a way, I don't want to sound critical, but meaningless in a way, because they're just different. But they obviously both relate to the degree in which you can communicate with people. The reason why sight can be more dramatic in the sense that it stops you from doing things like driving, or maybe you're more liable to falls and things. So it's more risky. Hearing loss for most people, and they're all, is going to be a very slow process, and one they don't necessarily notice as it's happening. It's quite often that family and friends will notice before you notice it's happening. But the effects can be quite significant, because as it's slowly happening, people start to adapt their lives around the difficulties. So they may say, well, I'm not going to go out to that because I can't hear, or hearing in background noise is often one of the difficulties, and then it makes social life quite difficult. You know, you don't want to go out to a restaurant because there's, you know, open plan restaurant, there's a lot of chatter around, you don't go. So actually it does have quite a significant impact over time on people's lives and on their social and emotional life as well.
And I don't have any problems, at least I don't think. I've not had an oral test on my hearing recently. As far as I know, I'm all right. The other thing, as a radio presenter and other presenters around the station will say, that really shouldn't be playing music so loud in the headphones. We all wear headphones here while we present on the radio, so we can monitor the levels and sounds. But there is a tendency for some of us to really turn it up. And that probably is not really doing, by having such an intense sound, very localised to our ears, probably not really doing us much good
at all. It's not doing you any good. It's a matter of the volume and the length of time, and the sort of combination of the two can damage hearing, because sound can damage hearing, as we know. Like people who've been in the army, for example, often are more vulnerable to hearing loss, or people who've been in heavy industries are more vulnerable to hearing loss. Nowadays we take more protection, but with younger people now we are seeing damage. You often see it in pop stars, you know, staying hearing, or somebody has got a hearing loss. So it's often seen in that age of people who've been, you know, out there in the rock scene, and it's damaged their hearing. So yes, is the answer. You need to take care.
Or us in the audience as well. We go to gigs, we go to these big concerts, big heavy rock concerts. In the old days of the Cambridge Corn Exchange, before it was changed into a tiered seating venue, and it was just literally the old Victorian Corn Exchange, which used to have terrible acoustics, but the amplification was kilowatts of power, and there were bands like, for those that can remember, AC/DC, Motorhead, Saxon, and I used to go along and, you know, headbang with it. It sounds funny now, but back in the day. And I would come away afterwards, and I would go home, and I would try to sleep, and I would have tinnitus. I mean, it would take 2 or 3 days for that ringing to completely disappear. We've been talking about tinnitus on the show before, and with Neil Whiteside in the afternoons quite recently, the British Tinnitus Association being mentioned as well. But we're probably really being devils with our own hearing. But now I suppose we've got that generation coming through, getting older,
yes,
who damaged their hearing back then.
Yes, yes. The impact would be not something you'd notice immediately after the event, other than that ringing in the ear. But it's what the impact is. You're likely to lose your hearing younger than you otherwise would. It's quite difficult to measure that. But of course, if you're losing your hearing in your 40s as opposed to your 50s, or your 50s opposed to your 60s, that's the impact it has. Although there are some people who actually have a sudden hearing loss due to noise, so it can have that impact, but that's rare, that's very rare.
I mean, the medical conditions that can really shut down your hearing,
yes,
alarmingly very, very quickly.
Yes,
there are some.
Yes.
But health and safety rules have changed. That means at airports, for instance, you'll see operatives that working airside now will have, yes, ear defenders on.
Yes.
Working near noisy... Even jet engines are quieter than they used to be, but there's still obviously a considerable noise. Machine shops, people,
yes,
fabricating, working with metal, with grinding machines, quite loud, you know, loud noises. So.
Yes, yes. Well, as I said, we are now taking more precautions for these heavy industries, but just the world around us is more noisy. So there was an interesting case about somebody who was playing golf, and it's actually the click of the golf clubs was causing problems. But we are living in a very noisy world. And so, you know, the sound of a traffic constantly sort of giving our ears constant work to do. And inside the ear, we have something called the cochlea, which has little hairs on it, and those hairs degrade, and that's the most common form of hearing loss, and that's the one where there's no medical intervention that's going to help you, and that's where hearing aids or other kind of support through TV listening or amplified phones is going to be the answer for you, and lip reading. You know,
old age, that it catches up with us all, and those little hairs begin to die. The hearing is less efficient. High end disappears as well. Treble,
yes.
Higher frequencies.
It's commonly the higher frequencies that go first. But the cheerful news is that there is quite a lot to do about it. So I mean, hearing aids will, for most people, give them some benefit. And again, there's a lot of technology. We're now seeing mobile phones, for example, that can work as microphones. So maybe if somebody's used to using a mobile phone, they will just use the phone as a microphone as a first step, perhaps, to getting used to the idea. The most important thing for people to do is have a hearing test and actually acknowledge that there might be a problem, because then you can start doing something about it. And for somebody like me, I have actually moderate to severe hearing loss, but it's not really limiting my life, because I am able to do something about it, and the help that's available to me, you know, more or less puts me in the same position, not quite, but the same position as somebody who can hear well. And so I just adapt my life around it. So, for example, if I go to a restaurant, I make sure that I sit with my back to the wall so I don't get the background noise. There are little things like that that simply help you to adapt and improve the listening environment.
And probably for the best of us, Francis, it's true that if you are in a noisy environment, let's say you're in a dance hall, a band, or you've got disco or a loud music going, and everybody's trying to talk to everyone else, there's a drink in the hand, and yeah, it's all very full of frivolity. But that is when I do suffer, because I can't hear people. They can be, say, less than a meter away from,
yes,
me, trying to talk to me.
Yes.
But they are drowned out by,
yes,
what, for some reason, I've always found this, and my dad's the same, actually,
yes,
not being able to cope really well in a noisy,
yes,
environment, not because my hearing's bad. Somehow I'm not able,
yeah,
to really focus.
Yeah.
And I sort of,
yeah,
I almost pretend by saying, yeah, yes, or, yeah, giving a,
well,
but I'm not, and I don't like to say, I can't hear you.
That is very common. And as you say, you don't have a hearing problem, but actually that is a hearing problem.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's one of the first signs. And it's one of the most common signs, not to be able to... People always think of hearing loss or deafness as not hearing, but it isn't not hearing. It's not being able to interpret the sounds that you do hear. So somebody with a hearing loss may well hear a lot of sounds, but they're missing some of the sounds, so it becomes difficult to interpret. And with the experience of that background noise, it's to do with not being able to pick out the signal you want to hear from the sounds around you. And that is, I'm afraid, a feature of, we now think possibly a feature of the auditory nerve rather than, as I mentioned, the cochlea, but the sound becomes more difficult to interpret. That's, of course, where lip reading becomes really helpful, because you're looking very intently at somebody and you can perhaps pick out the meaning of the words from the shape of the mouth. So that would be where you would be relying very heavily on lip reading. But that is, I'm afraid, a common feature that people experience when their hearing's not as good as it used to be.
And we think of going to the dentist fairly regularly on a checkup regime. Therefore, I mean, Francis, you're suggesting, and actually it's beginning to nag me in my mind, that I ought to go fairly regularly to have an audiologist have a checkup of my hearing then.
Yes, I mean, it's not yet a sort of official requirement, but we do encourage people to have a hearing test once they're in their 50s, really, because, again, it can catch up on you, and you may not notice it happening to yourself. Other people around you will notice, and we do also see that people who start to manage their hearing loss earlier manage better for longer. So they keep going when perhaps other aspects of their lives are not doing as well. So, for example, if their sight's not as good. But if you start managing your hearing loss, you will keep going with it and you will manage it into later years. There's also some indication that managing your hearing loss may help to... It's one of the risk factors. Hearing loss is one of the risk factors in dementia. So managing hearing loss, the evidence you talked earlier about evidence base, it's not yet really a hard evidence, but there are indications that if you manage your hearing loss, then you may lessen that dementia risk we're not talking about major significant changes, but a little bit, and for each person that would be significant.
And it makes sense then if we have a fairly what sort of regime of audio tests should we say, every 2 years?
Normally it's three. I mean, that's you wouldn't get that on the National Health, but you can get a lot of free hearing tests from Boots or from Specsavers or any of the other providers. There's also a free hearing test you can do on the telephone with Action on Hearing Loss, which is a charity. So they offer a phone test. It'll tend to be fairly crude, but it'll say, you have got a hearing loss, you might have a hearing loss, you definitely don't have a hearing loss. So it sends you in the right direction, but it isn't a very subtle test, obviously, because if you have a full test, you'd have it in a soundproof room, and they can't offer you that, obviously.
And not only that, but the frequency response over the standard telephone line is very limited anyway.
Yes, it's not going to be great, but there's a range of things coming up, and again it's offered, apps offer that as well, so there's again a range of possibilities for you there.
I never thought of something like that, Francis, that you could try something like that. So let's go search everybody, whether you go to Google Play or use the iTunes Store, and have a look for maybe one of these free audio apps that you can start sort of testing your levels.
Yes.
I'll probably explore that one.
Yes, good idea, yes.
Idea for our listeners as well this morning. Now, you've got an event coming up, Francis, very soon at the C3 Centre. The big roundabout, Brooks Road, opposite a very big supermarket, Coldham's Lane. I think probably most people know where we're talking about, on the east side of Cambridge, on the 21st of March. Francis, you're going to be talking there I think quite a large audience. Promote the event for us now.
Yes, well, we're running workshops, hearing loss information and advice workshops, and they're really open to everybody to come. The idea is that people can, who've just want to explore the territory, find out about it. We're not doing hearing tests, so there's nothing that will help you to understand whether you've got a hearing loss, but we'll talk about it. And we talk about what it's like, what the experience is. And as you mentioned, you didn't know that hearing against noise is one of those symptoms. So we talk about the kind of experiences people have with hearing loss. There are other people there, lots of people there share their experiences. We talk some technical talk about what goes wrong with the ear, and so people can understand a bit more about exactly, as you said, it's the high notes that go.
Because it's quite a mechanical device, the ear, isn't it?
All
the little bones in there. There's an anvil bone, isn't there? The stirrup bone,
it's quite complicated, yeah. But the experience people have there'll be lots of different reasons why people have got a hearing loss, but the experiences people have, they will be able to share. We'll have some equipment there, we'll have some telephones there for people to look at, TV listeners for people to look at, and just give people signposting to where they can go. So it's really helpful for people. We are finding people are responding very well to it, and are finding that it does help them, particularly in talking about it, talking more about it to their friends and family, because people, as you say, often simply pretend because they're embarrassed, so they'll just nod away and not explain to people what the problem is. So it helps people to talk about it, and we can sort of look at different coping strategies for how you manage it, really.
Phone flashes is another thing, to get a visual message to you that the phone's ringing, you know,
yes,
with a xenon,
all those things.
Well, not actually a strobe, but sort of, certainly a pulsing light, that kind of thing. Phone amplifiers, which we've spoken about. The traditional inductive loop.
Yes. That can be more stage two of the experience for people. But often the loop can help people. One of the sad things about the loop is it's often installed in places and then people forget how to use it. So you can go with the expectation of a loop and then find it doesn't work, which can be very frustrating. But the workshops will cover all that, will introduce people to all those areas. So people can come who've just worried about their hearing. People can come who are perhaps caring for somebody or looking after somebody. And we do encourage people to come with their partners. We've had people who've got hearing aids and perhaps aren't using them as effectively as they might, or just want to know more. So it's really open for people to come along.
The project's funded by the Eastern Academic Health Science Network and Cambridge Hearing Trust. And here are the details. Hopefully you've got a pen or some way of recording this. The next workshop, it will be at 10:30 in the morning on Thursday, the 21st of March, at the C3 Centre, Brooks Road, Coldhams Lane roundabout junction there, the big one, opposite the big supermarket. The website is cambridgeshearinghelp.org.uk, or one word for this, cambridgeshearinghelp.org.uk. And find on that website Living Well, and that will give you more details of what Francis will be doing. And you can find a phone number as well, which is Cambridge number 849768. So it's 01223
798.
Yeah, what did I say? I said it wrong the first time. Dear, dear. I don't think it's my hearing that needs to be sorted out. It's probably my eyes. 01223 849 798.
Yeah.
Well done. Thumbs up.
Yeah. And just finally, I mentioned, for those people who are working for whom it's not convenient to come, and we're also doing one on a Saturday later in the year, and we've got an online version, so you can go online and go through it, similar kind of area there. So it's not quite the same. You don't get quite the interaction, but there's plenty of information there on the online course.
Same website, Cambridgeshire?
Same website, yeah.
CambridgeshireHearingHelp.org.uk. Francis Dewhurst, Project Officer for Living Well with Hearing Loss. Thank you very much, Francis. Lovely to see you again.
Thank you.
From wherever it was last time.
And I will think of it sometime.
Bid you adieu, and I'm sure we'll see you again.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming by. Very interesting.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Thank you.